Ruth and I to be back here. This is kind of our second home church. It's just a long ways from home. But it's fun coming up, and we've gotten to know some of you, most of you, throughout the years in many different ways, and had some real personal talks with various ones. We've been able to share together some of our joys and some of our burdens and some of our struggles, and I want you to know we brought a box of candy for Pastor. Really made his day. I want you to know that it's almost gone already. I checked this morning when I got up, opened the box to count the empty ones. It was in there. So a lot of fun things. Isn't it good to be a part of the family of God?
Amen.
And to know what we have in Him? It's so good to do that. And it's good to have brothers and sisters in Christ, and I bring you greetings from brothers and sisters in Christ in Brazil. They said, Pastor, and you go back, thank those people that prayed and the ones that give and the ones that help send the gospel to us. We're grateful for that. And they are. And I'm going to do something a little different. I've been to many, many conferences in Bible colleges and churches, talked to people in homes all over about missions and why we get involved in missions. And most of my message was Matthew 28 years ago. And the missionaries that are here, the young missionaries that are going out need to have that message on their hearts. You know what it is, going to all the world and preach the gospel and baptize, right? Believe that? Believe that. And God used that to touch our hearts, and He used that to touch my heart. And I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't know the Lord Jesus until I went to Bible camp at 18 years old after I graduated from high school. Didn't know hardly anything about missions whatsoever. Came to know the Lord, went to Bible school in 1961, I came to know the Lord. Bible camp in northern Wisconsin. Okay? 1963, went to Bible school. Why'd I go to Bible school? Because I couldn't give anybody an answer about the faith that I had. I knew I had Jesus after I went to Bible camp. I heard the gospel, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believed that. God changed my life through that. When I went to Bible school, guess who I met? My wife, Ruth. 1966, in that year you were married? I'll get it right, because I was married the same year. I get it right that way. We went to Bible school and heard messages on go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, okay? Teaching, baptizing, helping others to know, just like Pastor just got up and read those things. Those things used to just touch my heart. Used to be in my burden my heart and say, God, I got to go. Not only got to go, I'm willing to go, you know. So I spent most of my early life in missions with that goal, and I should have had that goal, right? Because that's God's goal. That's God's desire. And in 1967, after my wife thought she was going to go to Africa, because at a mission conference she was convinced that God wanted her in Africa, and I was going to Brazil, and then we started going together and getting really serious. We thought we needed to get this straightened out. So she thought she better go to Brazil with me. It'd be a better marriage that way. And so that's what we did. In 1967, young married couple of only 10 months, we left for Brazil. We had to have $265 a month support. You believe that? Can't even buy a hamburger for that now, can you? You know? And we left, and we went to Brazil. And you know what I want to do tonight? I don't want to tell you about the burden that we had, okay, and how we desired to go. And like Brother Phil was just sharing, he needed to share that. It's beautiful to see how God's working in his life. And he's on track. I want to tell you he's doing the right thing. He's going to go learn the language. He's going to work with a missionary that's already working, okay? He's going to help ministries that are there, and he needs to teach and train others. It's the right way to go, Phil. You're on track. Just keep on track. Okay, learn that language that first year. Don't get bogged down in all kinds of other stuff. You know, it's easy for a new missionary to get bogged down in good things and not get the language, and guess what happens then? It bothers the rest of their ministry because they can't really communicate like they want to communicate. So you pray for them when they're studying the language. They'll stick their heads to that studying the language because it's tough stuff, okay? Don't let anybody tell you it's easy. There's fun times, and there's times when you just sit at home and cry, right, honey? Remember those days? I'll never get this. God help me, you know. And but what I want to do tonight is I want to do this. I want to say 47 years later, to God be the glory. Be the theme of what we're going to talk about tonight, okay? Looking back, and I want to tell you about what God did and tell you how God did it. All right? Can I share that way? Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. By the way, Ruth and I'd like to be young again. We'd do the same thing all over again. Maybe you could leave out some of the failures along the way, but they'll be there anyway, won't they? God takes us through those too, doesn't he? But I want to use 1 Thessalonians chapters 1 and 2, and we're going to go through and use the examples that are in the verses to tell the story of what God's doing in Brazil. How's that? Okay? So we get going in verse 1. Listen to this. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Oh, I see. I forgot the first part of it. It's Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church at Thessalonians. It was up there with an end. I didn't see it and didn't read it. Why are those three words important, like Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy? You know what missionaries do? They work together. Do you see that tonight already? Praise the Lord that he's not going to go out there and work by himself right away. You know, and he's grateful for that too. He's back there saying, amen, you preach it, brother. Okay? But they work together. That was Paul's plan too. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. They were working together. We worked with Ed Lieb. We worked with Bob Williams. We worked with Gerald Bergen. You got the idea? See? And John and Daniil are down there, and they're working with Phil. And, you know, things. That's the way it goes. We work together. That was God's plan. God doesn't throw us out there to take his word to other people and just leave us alone and say, get it done. You know that? We're a team. Guess who's the head of the team? The Lord Jesus is. Okay? He's the one that helps us along. I look back over our ministry, over all the years, things that God done, the things that we've been through. I want to tell you, it's worth serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's worth it. You believe that?
Amen.
That's the best thing that we can do, is give our hearts and our lives to him, to serve wherever it might be it right here in town, okay, or be it across the ocean in France or wherever it might be. The best thing we can do is be in the center of God's will and do what he wants us to do. And so Paul was there, and he said to the church that's there, and notice he mentions right away in that verse, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll notice in this passage, too, that he mentions the Holy Spirit. The triune God is with us. The sovereign God is with us, helping us in our ministry. We're not alone. We got the whole package there. You might say it that way, okay? There's nothing missing. We just go. He goes with us. We go with him. And the word of God is preached and goes forth. And so he says, we give thanks to God in verse 2. Okay? We give thanks to God always for you, all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Give thanks for what? What is he giving thanks for? We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. For all of you, many. It wasn't just one or two. He was thankful for the brethren. Where? In these different locations where they took the gospel, there are brothers and sisters in Christ, and he was thankful for them. They're brothers and sisters in Christ already in France, okay? There are those in Brazil. John and Daniil are thinking about going to a new city. They need brothers and sisters in Christ there. Will there be? I can tell you there will be. Why? Because the word of God will be proclaimed, okay? And so he was just thankful for what God had done. Notice his attention and his vision was on what God was doing. It's not what Larry's doing. It's not what Phil's doing. It's not what John's doing, okay? You put your name, that's God uses people, right? You believe that? God uses people. But guess who gets the glory? It's God's. This is God's work. And that's really an encouragement, because sometimes you feel like a failure as God's servants. wondering, what are we doing? Is anything going to happen? You know, man, I'm a lousy missionary. I'm not getting this done. And then God helps us realize, wait a minute, Larry, it's not you. This is not your work. It's not about you. It's about me. And I think Paul, he just got fed up and he says, be instant in season, out of season, preach the word. And I was telling Pastor the other day, a lot of times I thought of that this way. When I can't think of anything else to do or anything any other way to do it, God's saying, forget the rest of it and preach the word. Just do that. And that was always an encouragement, because sometimes you get stuck in ministry. What am I going to do next? How's this going to work out? Well, that sure failed or whatever. Well, don't get stuck. We don't get stuck. We preach the word. And so he was really concerned about them there, and he just gave thanks for all of them that were there and serving. He says, what's he thankful for? Look at verse 3. What he's thankful for. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfast of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. So what's he grateful for? For their faith and for their love and for their steadfastness of hope. Faith, love, hope. Think about your life. Do you have a faith? Do you have a faith tonight or not? Do you have a love in your life? Do you have a hope? Okay, guess what? Before Paul went there with the gospel, they did not have faith. They did not know what love was, and they did not have hope. You see the difference? And he says, now I'm thankful for you because you have faith, you have love, and you have hope. And Paul put it there, right? Did Paul put that faith and that love and that hope in their lives? Where did it come from? Well, look what he says right away. In the presence in Christ, let's see, wait, in the fastness of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God and Father. Who's he always give the glory to? Right off the bat, he makes it really clear. You see that? And it's not for Larry to get up and say, hey, I want you to know I spent 47 years in ministry, and there's a lot of things that God has done. Wasn't I a great missionary? That's right attitude. That's right situation. That's a lie. But I can get up and say, I want to tell you what God has done. They have faith, they have love, and they have a hope. And it's the same faith and the same love and the same blessed hope that you have. I was talking to Grandpa for a little bit today. That's all I know him by, just Grandpa, you know, in the nursing home. And I said, isn't it good to have that blessed hope? It's good to have that blessed hope, you see. And so I can tell you now that in Brazil where we minister, there are people that have God's faith, hope, and love in their lives that God has given to them that's come through his word. And so, and then remember that it's in Christ and in God the Father. And then in verse 4, what does he talk about? Knowing, brethren, beloved, God, his choice of you. Remember I talked about being on the team? We believe we have a sovereign God, don't we? You know what? God works with us, and God works in and through the lives of people, and God changes people's lives. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? It can be a drunk that's playing out in the road and that's listening to the gospel. It can be a person that's been coming to church for 10 years. They're listening to the gospel and they still haven't come to Christ. And then they come to Christ and we're grateful for that. God works in many lives and many hearts. But he's on our team. He's on our side. Sometimes I think we think that God's not helping. Is God there? Is God helping? Sure he is. Are we his servants? Amen. We're his servants, you see. And so he said, you got to remember that, beloved brethren, his choice of you. Now look at verse 5. I make sure I get my pages right here, okay? Look at verse 5. And he says this, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you. Now, what came to them? What came to them was the gospel. Phil mentioned several times that we need to take the gospel to the people. You'll always hear missionaries say, we need to take the gospel. You heard pastor say already tonight, we need to take the gospel. our community, to where we are, okay? We take the gospel. And so that's what he's talking. He said the gospel came to these people, and he says, now I want you to know how it came. We had a bunch of people that gave a bunch of money, and we used all that money to print up flyers and everything, and through that, the gospel came. What am I doing? I'm talking about something that sometimes we think this is how we're going to get the job done, right? God uses printed page. I'm not saying that. But how did the gospel come? Notice here he says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only. And I'll tell you that we can give forth the words of the gospel, but it can be dead, can't it? Just in our own words. But what's the additive here? But it didn't come to you in word only, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I already talked about God the Father and Jesus the Son. And I was talking about the Spirit of God, taking God's word in the power of the Spirit of God and using it in a person's heart. You see the Trinity here already? He's talking about the Trinity. And I want to tell you something. Does the power of God's word through the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts? You ever been here when Pastor was preaching, and he's preaching God's word, and it messed with your heart, messed with your life? Have you ever been there and you felt so much discomfort, you say, quit, you better stop, you got to quit talking about that. It's getting really too much that I can bear. You ever been there? You ever been there when you're so burdened and the word of God comes and it brings such comfort to your life, such peace, such hope, such love, such faith to your life? The power of the word of God, is the word of God powerful? Is the word of God powerful or not? Has it changed your life? You think it works in French? You think it works in Portuguese? You see? Does it work in English? The word of God is powerful because it's given through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, he just said, for our gospel did not come to you in word only. It just wasn't words of men. That's not the way it was, but also in power of the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And then he goes on and he says in verse 6, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They were imitators of the missionaries. Now, Ruth and I have been going to Brazil for 3 months every year. And we're semi-retired. And we go back and we fill in for missionaries that have to come back. Some have come back for study. Some have come back for medical reasons. Some come back for the wedding of their daughter, things like that. And we just go down and move in their house, use their car, okay, and take their ministries and do it. And we're just living in the Brazilian community. And it's great for us and it's great for them because they feel real confidence because things are being cared for while they're gone, okay? And we went down this last time to where we had worked in the last two churches that we turned over to Brazilian pastors. They're communities that we lived in for a long time, so we knew not only the believers, but the people in the community, okay? Got to know the people in the community. And the thing that struck us, Ruth and I, this time when we went back, is they said, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you taught this? Did you remember that time that you shared this? And Ruth and I'd say, no. You know, didn't remember. One of the pastors said, we have a nice little swimming pool for our Christian school and for our baptisms now. And he says, do you know how we build it? And I said, no. He says, the way you taught me. I said, I didn't teach you how to build any swimming pool. Yes, you did. Because I remember you said when you went to build your church, the people said, we don't have enough money to build our church. And we said, well, I said, we'll take what we got and we'll buy material. Next week, after the offering's taken, we'll buy more material. And we got enough material to work, we'll get everybody together and we'll work. And he said, and before long you had a church. And our people said, we can't build a swimming pool to use for baptismal and that. We can't do it. And I said, yes, we can. How can we do it? We'll start buying the materials. Every week we'll buy materials. And then when we got the materials, we'll get together and we'll all pitch in and we'll build it. You see? Imitators. They were imitators of Paul and the apostles in such a way that everything that they did. One family told us, they said, you know what Christian family we had to see living amongst us. You know what family it was? It was your family. Your family was the one that we watched. It was the first time we saw a Christian family in action. And you talked about that up here. It's one of the things that you're going to do is use the testimony of the family. I tell you, it's great. People don't raise their kids the way that God tells us to raise our kids, you see? And so we're an example in that. So they were imitators. And he said that they being imitators of the missionaries. He said that it was received in tribulation, but they had joy in the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you just one example of one of the guys that came. He wasn't a believer, and the church was growing, and he came to church, and he listened to the gospel, and his dad told him, he said, if you ever become a believer, don't come back home because this isn't your home anymore. You can't leave the faith of your tradition. He said, so don't even come back, because he was talking about how much he appreciated hearing the messages and what it was all about. Long story short, he went and he accepted the Lord. He didn't go home that night. And in the morning, he took a truck that went to another town where we had another missionary. And he went to that town and he went to the missionary and he says, I'm here, I need help. He said, I received the Lord last night in Paraguay, the church. My dad told me not to come home after I became a believer. And he says, and I just want you to help me. He says, I had to receive Jesus. I needed him in my life. So the missionary there took him in and helped him and encouraged him to come back. After a while, he came back, and his sisters wouldn't clean his clothes for him, and his dad didn't want him around for meals. They didn't treat him very well, but they did let him stay in the house. And after a time, he was accepted back into the family, okay? His brother came to know the Lord, became a pastor also, and he became a pastor. His name was Nicodemus. Isn't that interesting? His brother came to know the Lord, and his sister came to know the Lord. His dad finally eventually came to church and actually came in our church building, which was something that was really drastic. He never did become a believer. But is it in sorrow and problems? Some face struggles and problems. Do missionaries face struggles and problems? Yes, they do. I think you know that we lost our first baby on the field right after it was born. It died. You know, you can say, well, why did God allow something like that to happen to a missionary? Well, we're God's people. We need the experiences that God wants us to have to be able to serve him. That next year in our ministry, I think there were 6 or 7 babies that died in the congregation. And they had a lot of babies that died after birth, because of the primitive conditions at that time. But God knows what he's doing. We were there to help, to console them and to tell them, you know, how it is, and we understand the way it is. So God does a lot of things in our lives. And in and through all, we didn't give up because we had the joy of the Lord Jesus in our lives to keep us going. He keeps us going. He's the one that's the strength in our life, okay? And then in verse 7, he says, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. They became examples of the believers. In our part of Brazil, before Ruth and I went, 10 years before that, our missionaries started having services out in that area. Okay? And there were a few that were saved. It was a big county. There were no believers in the whole county, except just a couple that would come into the county from time to time. And the missionaries started having services out there, open-air services with the gospel, and some came to know the Lord, all right? When they came to know the Lord, you know what they wanted? They wanted their families to know about the gospel. And they'd say things like, I've got an uncle that lives over in, like, Beewabik or Hibbings or someplace. Can we go over there and share the message with them? Guess how all our ministries up there got started? Was that kind of way, okay? The believers wanting the gospel to go to their friends and their families in other areas. And they became believers. And they became an example to others. You see that? That's the way the gospel is spread. It's a wonderful way that God spreads the gospel through his people. Isn't that something that he uses his people? Huh? Who's his people? That's you and me, right? You see? And so that's what happened with Paul. They had preached the gospel, and these people became examples to others that are around because they now had the gospel. And in verse 8, It says, "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything." So you're doing a great job. Now, Phil's talking about we're going to go to that one area, and God so wills, after a while we'll leave that area and we'll go to these other two places that don't have anybody yet. That's exactly what's happened. Looking back now, we're 47 years. Way back there was that one little church that was started, okay, a few believers. It grew. They had burden for this place, they had burden for that place, had a burden for that place. And it's growing to, went outside of the county, went outside of the area, went outside of the county. Now it's outside of the state. Now we're clean in southern Brazil, where John and Daniel are. In the new states, we just went into another new state right toward the middle of Brazil, okay? And that's the way the gospel went forth. You know what there is now? There's over 100 churches with Brazilian pastors. How did that happen? Because the missionaries are great people, right? Why did that happen? Because they take a powerful message. You believe that? It's a powerful message that changes hearts. And who is building his church? The Lord Jesus is building his church through the message of his word that's powerful, and involved in it is God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see how Paul gives due where it's due? Right away he mentioned this. You know, this is why this is happening, because of the word of God being powerful and it going forth. And he said, I don't really need to say anymore. You can see what God's done. God did it. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you the truth looking back now. I say, God, nobody could have done this. It had to be you. I mean, it's incredible to see. And I'll show you tomorrow night they had a huge service while we were there in front of the last church that we were at, and invited the other churches. Come tomorrow and see the slide and see what God has done there. Now, there are all these churches, and they're not just churches. They're churches with Brazilian leadership and Brazilian pastors, and they're taking care of their own. And you know what they're doing? They're going forth in missions. They have missionaries in Portugal and in Spain. You might run into some Brazilian missionaries when you get over there, and I trust you do. And they said, Pastor, you know what? You guys can't go as Americans. You can't go a lot of places, and we can go. We don't have that problem. We're not Americans. We can go, and we can get into the countries, and we can get visas, and we can share. And you gave us the torch, and we need to take the torch and take it, and they're doing it. They're going to Japan. One of our churches had a missions conference, and they were burdened for North Korea. I thought, man, that's faith, isn't it? You know what they did in the missions conference? They brought in and got one guy on the coffin company, and they have these wooden coffins down there, and they marched in with a couple coffins, empty coffins, and in through the church. And the pastor said, you know what that represents? That represents North Korea. They're dead in their sins, trespasses. They're dead, spiritually dead. They need the Lord Jesus. I thought, man, God, give me that faith. I don't have that faith. You? You see? And so they've gone forth. It said it sounded forth. I think that kind of means like it's a big gong, not just a little jingle, okay? It's a big gong. It sounded forth. They knew that they were believers in the Lord Jesus. Verse 9 is important too. So it says, "For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you what? Turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." What did they do? They turned. Repentance. Okay? They turned to God. From what? From idols. What were they serving? Idols. False gods. You see? And they abandoned these idols and these false gods to serve the living and true God. Is your God living? Is your God living? Is he true? Is he true? Do you know that most people in the world serve a dead God and a liar? True or not? Isn't that where it is? You see? And he was so excited about the fact that they were serving the living and true God, and that they turned from their other gods. They turned from their other ways. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised, verse 10, from the dead, That is Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. Is Jesus on our side? Does he have the message of rescue, you see, to save? What do you think so far about Paul? Is he on? Is he right on? Is he giving glory where glory's due? Is God working with the missionaries? Is God helping? What's the very center of all of it? The power of the Word of God? You see, it's the power of the Word of God. God the Father interested in it. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. Does that sound like a good team to you? Huh? Sound like a good team? We got time to go to chapter 2? What time do we have to be home for breakfast? You know, I'm sharing this with you this way because for me to look back and for our missionaries to look back, this is what we see. This is what happened. This is what God did in Brazil where we ministered with the Word, okay? When we went down in 1967, there was possibly one Brazilian pastor. He wasn't completely supported yet by all the Brazilian churches together couldn't support him. Okay. And in our county, there were very few believers at all. And now in a three-county area, stripe across the state where we've had these ministry for all these years, there's several thousand believers. Can you believe that? You know how they were saved? One by one. They didn't all come all of a sudden and say we're going to follow. They didn't come. Well, let's get into chapter 2 because we'll see some of the other things that influenced what we've done. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Okay, so there was success. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness of our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid such opposition. He mentions boldness here, and I want to tell you that I'm not a bold person. Okay? I admire people that have a boldness to just share the faith easily. I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't do that easily, okay? But they had a boldness. But I found that God gave me boldness to talk to even like a state representative that came to our house one time. Other people that come, God gives a boldness. We don't always have what we need. God's there to help us. We're not going alone is the idea. God helps us where we're weak. He helps us do that. And then it says that there was opposition. Our first missionaries, Ruth and I never had this, but some of our earlier missionaries in the 50s, they had tomatoes thrown at them, rocks thrown at them. They were jeered at. One thing that we always had, the federal police would always give us protection. I remember going to one new town one time, and one of the policemen heard that some were going to come and make a noise and disrupt us, and he said, "Don't worry, they're not going to do that. I'll be there." We didn't even ask him, and they were there. Is there opposition to the Word of God? You listen to the news today if you don't think there's opposition. Agree? See, it's getting pretty exciting, isn't it? You know who's in control? God's in control. He's got his own timing. Verse 3 is very important here in chapter 2. He says, "For exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by deceit." I'll look at my notes on this because I... Notice he said that the word did not come from error. It's true. The word came, it was true. He said what we brought was true, and it wasn't false. And it didn't come from impurity. Do you know what they were serving? They were serving sexually wicked acts as part of their idolatry. That was the religion they had, okay? It wasn't pure. It was very impure. It was very counter to the Word of God. And he says, nor deceit. It wasn't a lie. It was authentic. What they were teaching was authentic. It was the right thing. You know what I've heard a number of Brazilians say down through the year? Thank you for sharing with us the truth. Thank you for sharing with us the truth. You know, not even every church probably here in town teaches the truth. Isn't that true? It's so easy for them to teach error, teach what is false. He said, our work, and I love this verse because he said, our exhortation doesn't come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as confessing men, but God who examines our hearts. Who approved them? The men were against what they were preaching, okay? He said, I don't have to be approved by men. Who am I approved by? God. Who's sending Phil for us? It's not men. Oh, God uses men. God uses the church. And you need to love them and care for them and support them and the other missionaries. I keep talking about Phil because I know him and he shared tonight. Okay. But who's sending him forth? It's God that's sending him forth. And you can fail, and God will still send him forth, and he'll still make it there. And if you don't give 1 month, God will use somebody else. And if you don't pray, somebody else will pray. God will get his job done, but God wants to use you, isn't that right? See, God wants to use you to help. And so he was grateful for that, and he said, God's the one that examines our heart, and God's the one that approves us with the word. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is a witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. They were approved of God. They had authority. We're approved of God. We have authority. Our authority is the word of God given to us. And they shared that word with them. What verse was I on? Verse 6, right? Okay, and I'm just moving here real quick so we can get through this. But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother. Notice he said as servants they were as mothers. You can fill in the blanks there. Tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become very dear to us. I want to tell you the relationship that we had with the Brazilian people is awesome. It lasts until today. We left the first church in 1975. Okay? We spent time back in that area. Precious to be with those people. Okay? God gives you a bond. You have a bond here at church that you have in the Lord Jesus that's just precious. Right or not? Isn't that true? And you breathe for each other and you help each other and you love each other and you care for each other. God does that in our lives. And he said, we love him like a mother. And he says, we love him like a father. I think just ahead. Let's go on. Verse 8, having a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. There it is. How did he treat them? How did they treat them? As a mother would tenderly care, and as a father would tenderly care for the children. And that's the relationship you get between the missionary and the people. And it's there. And some of our closest friends are Brazilians. Can you believe that? We had a fellow that called just the other night, just before we came, facing a very serious thing with the family. He called and he says, you're like family to us. I just needed to share with you. I needed to open up my heart to you. Ruth and I sat there and over Skype, were able to talk and to listen. And it's precious what God does in our lives. Verse 12, so that you would walk worthy, in a manner worthy of God who calls you for his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the words of men, but for what it really is. It's the word of God, which also performs its works in you who believe. Now, take time to go on through the rest because of our time. But you can finish out this chapter. But what did they do? They heard the word of God, and what did they do? What did they do in that verse? They heard the word of God, and they accepted it And they accepted it as the words of men, right? No. As the words of God. You see that? Who presented it to them? It was the men. But they accepted it as the word of God. And if God says it, hey, it's got value. It's powerful, you see. And so that's how they ministered. And I just wanted to share this to you in this way tonight. As Ruth and I are in missions now, not at the beginning of our ministry, we're at the end, okay? And instead of looking forward mostly, you mostly look back and see what God has done. And for you guys that are going out yet, just young, you have your whole life ahead of you, what a privilege. You know, and you'd like to know right now everything that God's going to do through you and the way God's going to do you. And I want to tell you, don't even ask that anymore. Just ask God for the next day, because that's all that counts. God will use us if we decide to serve him. If you that stay right here, will God use you right here? Will he? He will. It's interesting. That's God's plan. Did God use men? Did man take the powerful word of God? Did it change lives? And a beautiful thing to see. So now I look back and I see the churches being established. I see God providing for them financially. They have vehicles now and they have things just completely different than it was. I see them supporting the pastors well. And I see them with a heart for missions like the church in the U.S. had back in the 60s. And a lot of missionaries went out and served. They have a real desire to send out. And they're sending out missionaries. And they're just telling them, you get ready to go and we'll send you. And they're giving toward that, and it's a blessing to see. And it's hard to sit in the service down there and not have tears come down your eyes. You know what I'm talking about? Giving thanks to God for what he's done, because God has done a mighty, mighty thing. And you have an outreach in Brazil in John and Daniil. And they're part of this whole chain of things going along. They now are going to be going to a new area. John will probably be the leader for that team that goes forth. He's been well-trained, spent time with our missionaries there, Phil and Rachel Stuckey. They had wonderful trainers in Phil and Rachel, you know, and they're trained. And he'll take another team along with Brazilians that'll go with him, and they'll go to another town, another city that also has very few opportunities there for a witness of the gospel. They're going to take the gospel there, and it just keeps going on. Is that God's plan? You're a part of that plan. Isn't that wonderful? Will it go forward? Yes, it will, because the word of God is powerful. So all I can say is, like I said in the beginning, to God be the glory. God used the Brazil Gospel Fellowship, used our missionaries to do what's been done. He's using them in the plans that are ahead to keep going. We don't stop. The Lord hadn't come yet. When he comes back, we won't have to do this anymore, right? Okay? But just keep on, and just thank you for your heart for missions, and I know that God will bless you as a church. For that, Pastor.